This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima.
Hello, John.
Ken, good morning, guys. That lingo that you just mentioned brought back just chilling memories, and those are some words I haven't heard in a few years, and it got me juiced. I can't lie.
Let's forget about the draft. Let's forget about anything Lima wants to say. Can you take us through the alphabet of steps through the zone blocking scheme, please?
How long is your show? You guys are done at 10, right?
Baskin and Phelps is perfectly fine with us cutting into their time, trust me.
Okay, or we could just set up a big conference call because I could talk for hours about it.
Oh,
but the two things that you said, that's a great start. And the thing that I loved about the zone scheme, it's a symphony of guys moving together in harmony to create that perfect final run. Or you see Nick Chubb, you see Kareem Hunt, you see a guy running scot-free, untouched, to the second level, and then he makes a guy miss, and then he runs over a safety and springs it for 20 yards. And those are the things that you used to hear in these meeting rooms, and you were like, wait a second, they're making this sound so easy. And it was, Ken. If the guys up front, in conjunction with the tight ends and the receivers blocking downfield and the quarterback carrying out his fake, and the running back hitting his landmarks. Oh, my God. Guys, I'm excited, obviously. You got me going this morning.
You got to control these emotions. Well, if it is that way, why isn't every team? We know so many more are than used to. Why isn't every team, running this Shanahan-style offense and making it look as easy as at times the Browns did last year?
That's the million-dollar question. We always wondered that. And especially when you play in that system, then you go back to the traditional ground and pound and let's just line up and man whip a man. And I got to move you off your point 2 yards and you got to stalemate guys. I always wondered that. And I think it's a mix of, you're buying into that system, you're working, you have it. Because you mentioned Kyle Shanahan. I mean, he grew up in that system with his dad and he heard that terminology and that language from when he first started watching football tape. So I think it's a thing where repetition is key with everything, right? That's how you become good at something. So when you buy into that system and you just tell yourself, listen, we're going to run this until we bleed. We're going to be running this day in and day out, over and over and over, until we become so efficient and so good at it. I think that's why the teams that run it and are successful at it, that's why, just because of the repetition. Now, the teams that haven't jumped on board, maybe it's an ego thing. Maybe it's my system, this is tried and true. This is decades old. I can put my spin on it, make it work. Because you see teams that aren't doing it that have success running the ball. But for whatever reason, I was always a huge fan of it because I think you can bring guys in that, are athletic. It's still a physical offense. It's still a physical scheme. So you can really plug different guys in. We have to draft this certain style of offensive lineman or this guy or this guy. I think you can really teach it to anyone and they can have success as long as they buy in to the footwork, to the fundamentals, to the technique. And you see the Browns doing that, and they obviously have bought in last season And look where we're at. We're talking about one of the best running teams in the NFL.
What was it like? You mentioned Shanahan there for a second. What was it like to play for the guy? What was his relationship like with players? Because I've said this before. I'm not a fan. I think Kyle Shanahan is a great football coach, but he was just a jerk to us in the media, so I never really got along with him whatsoever, and I've said that a bunch of times, so I can at least I can differentiate it. What was he like with you guys?
We loved him, and, you know, I think that's kind of the thing. When he got hired and he comes in and, you know, you had that first meeting with him, you know, you're like, okay, you know, his dad was a great football coach, and I get it. He's in. He's trying to make a name for himself. So he was chippy. He had an edge to him, almost like he had a chip on his shoulder and was trying to prove himself. But right away, I think – guys, I've played for so many coaches, and they all come in the first day, and they put up their, rah-rah speech, and they have all these fancy, you know, PowerPoint presentations, and then it's just like kind of a cookie cutter thing, and you're like, you get lost in the wash, and then, you know, they're not preaching, or they're not acting out on what they're preaching. Well, it wasn't the same for Kyle. When he came in, he laid down the law. And right off the bat, it was like, listen, you're either going to buy into this and you're going to be here or you're not. And so that kind of woke everyone up. And then you started seeing him practicing what he was preaching. And everything he was putting on the board and all that terminology, you saw it. And I think what makes him one of the better coaches I've played for is the way he held guys accountable. He treated the, you know, one and two and three guys on the roster the same as the, you know, all the way down the line to the guys that were there on a tryout basis or that you knew were week-to-week numbers guys. So I appreciated the fact that he treated everyone the same. If a guy like Nick Chubb screwed up, he got after him. He made it sure that he wasn't going to make the same mistake twice. If a guy like me made a mistake, he was going to tell me, you know, hey, you better correct this or you're out of here. So I appreciated that. It was refreshing. It was something where, you know, the big money guys weren't treated differently. Everybody was treated the same because at the end of the day, you're only as good as your weakest link. And that's how he treated everyone. And I think that's why he has so much success running that style offense.
John, last year, the Browns had, at least on paper, a number of different options they could go with on that offensive line. They settled on Jedrick Wills. What did you think of that rookie campaign? And what do you think is in store for year number two?
You know, I think he's got a high ceiling, and, you know, he proved everything that, you know, was on his positive sides coming out of the draft. His athleticism, his power, his short, explosive power coming off of the line and moving guys. I was really impressed with how he worked at the second level. He and Joel, you know, they were masterful, and obviously Joel's a all-pro, Pro Bowl player, so having a guy like that next to you in your rookie campaign is, I mean, so valuable. But I was really impressed the way he finished on the second level. I can't say that enough. And that's how you spring those big runs, especially on the backside when he's cutting off the defensive tackle and cutting him, or he's working up to that second level and blocking linebackers, getting a body on them. You know, that's those linebackers are paid to make tackles untouched and unblocked. They're not paid to shed tackles and take on or shed blockers and take on big offensive linemen and then make the tackle. So those guys don't want to see that. And I think Jed did a terrific job at doing that. And I think the knock, and I think something that, you know, we saw at times was his finish. And I think it was just kind of a time clock. I don't think he got lazy or gave up on plays. I know there was talk of that throughout the season, but I think when you transition from college to the NFL, you know, in college, it was easy for him. He was throwing guys. You know, there was guys running wide open. You know, the talent that he was seeing wasn't as good as the talent he's competing against now. So I think I'm sure they were pounding that home with him. I'm sure, you know, the guys in the room were saying, hey, look, if you could have just finished this block a little bit more, that turns a 4-yard gain into an 8-yard gain or more. So I think you're going to see him improve on that this season. And that's going to take his game to another level. And his pass blocking was terrific. I know that he's extremely athletic. He's great with his hands. He's good at anchoring power rushes. So he's only going to continue to build on that, and he's going to look at his mistakes and try not to make them twice. and he's going to improve on everything we talked about, because now in year one to two, the game's going to slow down for him. He's going to see things for the second, third, fourth, fifth time. He's going to know what to do. He's going to know what got him beat last year, and he's going to know how to prevent that from happening moving forward. So I think, guys, this guy and his ceiling is very high, and I think you're going to see him kind of transition into a Pro Bowl caliber player.
John Greco with us on the show. What is their plan of attack, or what would you think would be your plan of attack even, in replacement across the offensive line? We have a contract coming up possibly with Wyatt Teller, and then you look at two of your best. Joel Bitonio's in year eight. J.C. Treader is in year nine.
You know, yeah, obviously that's a tough situation that they're in, and that's why we all talked about that their window was kind of, you know, closing, so to speak, with that group. You know, the NFL is a business. We all know that. And you can't play together with the same guys for a long time, because then you still got to pay Baker Mayfield. We're talking about Jed Wills in a few years. You're going to have to, you know, open the checkbook for Nick Chubb. So that's the thing. It's very rare that you play with the same guys for a number of years. And like you said, Wyatt Teller had a career year last year, so he's going to get a big payday. My plan would be to bring in these young guys and start grooming young players, because that's how you win. You win with you handpick these premier, high-paid, top-dollar free agents, and combining that with the draft and young players, that's how you win, when you have young, cheap talent. And then, you know, you worry about paying them, or you have another team pay them, and you lose them, unfortunately. But in their situation, they have such a core group of players that make a lot of money for a very good reason, because they're very talented. So I think what you'll see them start doing is bringing in young players, whether it be through the draft or maybe a guy that, you know, is in their third, fourth, fifth year, and you can bring them over at a bargain through free agency, and having these young guys learn from these talented players, because eventually they're going to move on, or the Browns are going to have to move on from them, as we saw with Sheldon on the defensive side. You hate to see that, but it is a business, guys, and it happens. So my theory, my plan would be just to bring in some young talent, some guys that they see have a great future, and have them learn from these guys now. Because trust me, Jack Conklin, the other guys that you mentioned, they don't have the egos. They are going to be willing to teach these guys and mold the future, because they want to see the Browns succeed long after they're gone.
It's got to be important that they come away with probably every draft with maybe a lineman or two. Now, I know they got nine picks, probably won't use them all because of what you just said. Because now, I don't know about you, John, I see just so many guys, so fewer and fewer guys who are ready to take over the reins at a position right off. Like, Joel was able to do it, but now I think it's very difficult for a guy to step right in there and start from day one.
I would agree with you, and you know, we saw it this year. I mean, look how many. We had a guy that, I mean, for God's sake, he was practicing with his wife in the parking lot. You know, there was that guy was playing in an NFL game this season for the Browns. And that's unheard of. I mean, when we were talking about it, we joked about it, but I was like, you almost have to laugh. It's like just when you think you'd see it all, you don't. So yeah, you're right. You have to try to address that, whether they take a tackle or a guard, or maybe start, you know, thinking about a guy that can snap the ball or play multiple positions. It is important, because last year, the coaches, the players, everybody proved that they were able to have a guy come in a role that, you know, I don't want to call it a band-aid, because I think that discredits the player and their hard work. But you have a guy come in that's unproven, nobody's ever heard of him. They come in and they hold their own. But, you know, guys, can they hold their own if something happens, if God forbid something happens to one of these guys and they're out extended periods of time, and the Browns are making a push for the playoff, or maybe home field advantage, or trying to get a home playoff game, or the divisional crown? You know, you want somebody that's able to stand in there and there's no step back, there's no drop in talent. You want to be able to plug a guy in that knows he has a lot to prove, and he's trying to earn his living, and that's what these guys have to do. And it's rare. You got to have guys that can play multiple positions and play them well. So I think that's what everybody's trying to figure out.
John, when you were in the NFL and you were asked to do things like the mini camps and into voluntary workouts, all that stuff, did you find any of that to be beneficial? Or did you guys kind of hem and haw behind the scenes? You did what you were supposed to do, but in essence, how seriously were you taking any of that, as you see that a lot of that stuff could be going by the wayside?
Well, you know, I have to be honest with you. I enjoyed it. I think it's good to get everybody together. And I think, you know, it was 4 days a week. And, you know, you're there half the day. You get to spend time with your buddies and you know, have a lunch and have breakfast and work out. You're competing in the weight room. So I didn't mind that. And you're getting in shape. And then when it turned into, like, the OTAs and the days got a little bit longer, I did think it was nice because you're hearing this stuff for the first time in the year. You're kind of knocking the rust off. I don't know if you get that at home by yourself. Now, I get it. I get why they're doing it. Everybody was able to get things done last year virtually during the COVID season, and it didn't really seem like that there was any drop-off. But, you know, we talked a lot about it early in the season. Everyone wondered, you know, is there going to be kind of a rust or kind of a, you know, you're going to see a lower caliber of play because of the no preseason, the camp wasn't there. You know, that remains to be seen. I didn't think there was, but you saw, you know, we talked about the Browns, and you saw Baker, especially right around the bye week where he got things rolling and clicking. And you almost wonder if they have those full speed reps in camp and all of that repetition, you know, are they ready to roll earlier? So I'm not sure, but me personally, I didn't mind it. It gets you out of the house. Makes you feel like you're being productive, getting some stuff done. You're hanging with your buddies. You're meeting your new teammates. You know, you're not on Zoom, you know, in your office or whatever. And it gets you in the weight room, working out, seeing guys, and you get on the field, get a chance to move around. And guys, you still get about 6 weeks off before training camp starts. So I didn't mind it. Maybe I'm in the minority, but it was always a thing that I look forward to and going back and seeing everybody and getting to work.
John, we thank you very much for the time. All the best. Follow him on Twitter at John_Greco77, even though he rarely tweets, and anytime he does, it's just a retweet, but that's okay. He'll join me later on. John, thank you for the time, buddy. All the best.
Guys, thank you. Have a good week.
You too. John Greco joining us on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Exceptional stuff from him. And some exceptional news, possibly, for a Browns fan. When it comes to your hated rival, the Pittsburgh Steelers, that coming up. It's Ken Carmen with Anthony Lima, live on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.